We're real Quantum Mania.
She got downsized.
You know, literally today I read an issue where the issue of Fantastic Four that introduces the Microverse, which is the fucking thing that stupid shit Ant-Man movie is based off of.
Well, you saw it in the tiny theater.
Yeah.
How much of the Marvel backlog have you read?
I've read like 2% of it or something. Okay. I have been going through and reading some specific old stuff.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I read a bunch of old Spider-Man last year, and I'm slowly going through Stan and Jack's Fantastic Four right now. Which
by sex criminals
is incredibly good. Yes. You are correct. Jonathan Majors, sex criminal, domestic violence criminal.
Oh, I don't know.
All right. Do we distinguish those?
Disgraced criminal.
Disgraced conqueror Kang. I know.
We're
no, it's not for the audio. I was doing like the menu, like how
it's
they.
For
the
me.
Movie.
Oh, yeah,
the
movie. It's for me.
Okay, yes, chef. Yes, chef.
In the movie, they clap.
Happy to set myself on fire for you, chef. Spoilers for the menu.
I'm looking Porygon directly in the eye, chef.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna be watching Porygon all podcast because I need to finish that battle.
I'm going to serve Porygon with butter and hoisin sauce.
Oh man, and Porygon would taste a little gamey, I think.
A little video gamey.
Yeah. Thank you.
I hope that's good enough to intro the show. Welcome, everyone, to Please Don't Listen to This, Your Life Depends on It, the show where we do something different every single week. This week, we tried starting an hour late because we were messing with a new computer.
Wow.
Now, this
it was delicious.
No surprise. It was delicious. We tried the bread plate with no bread. This week, we watched The Menu.
Wow.
This week we tried doing
Ralph Fiennes impressions, and they were actually quite bad.
Yeah, his accent isn't really that strong.
No,
it's weird.
In my memory of the scene, I put
a lot of stank on it.
Yeah,
his acting is good and subdued, whereas mine is over the top and throwing ham at the walls.
Yeah. Okay. So I do the same thing with Prince of Egypt, where he plays Ramses.
Uh-huh.
And I think of him as like, it's weird that he has like a random like English accent and nobody else does in that movie. But then I watch it and I'm like, it's not that strong actually.
Hmm. I think that it might be just like it stands out very ever so slightly to us as Americans who are so full of ourselves. Like, we eat the cheeseburger.
It's also compared to everybody else in both of those movies.
But I should introduce the people around this table. I have here with me a guy who hid in the chicken coop and was served an egg for his troubles, Alex.
Hello. I'm slowly being lowered into the water where I shan't be heard from again.
You hear that sound? The silent sound of freedom. That was a good scene. I like that one a lot. And we have, don't you know who they are, you piece of shit, Seb.
Yeah, don't you know who I am? I stole all the money from my boss. That's why I'm rich.
Exactly.
It's a good way to get rich.
I want you to get rich. And I am your host, a failing star of paging Dr. Sunshine, Nick.
Wow.
I read Nick on Leguizamo. The IMDb trivia page that Seb read that in the original script that part was supposed to be played by Daniel Radcliffe playing himself.
Oh my God.
And that the movie that he was going to complain about was Victor Frankenstein.
That's
and
funny.
I'm like,
that's
oh man. Yeah. I like that they made up a movie that is just a fake shitty movie for John Leguizamo to be
in. Yeah.
Because it's believable for sure. Like, yeah. I mean,
well, he's never been in a bad movie. So.
Right, of course not.
Man, I don't know if Danrad being in this would have been better or worse.
I think it may have taken away. We'll get into it in the impressions, but Leguizamo was maybe my favorite part of this movie. I thought he did a great job.
But I wanted to talk about something for this first segment. First of all, I should say that this comes from Andrew, our listener. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Thank you for sending us an email.
Yes.
Rare thing.
This is a funny thing to do for an episode because it is not new enough to be current, but it is not
old enough to be ignored.
Yeah, it is not old enough to need reevaluation. It is not something that is old enough to need critical reevaluation. Like when people watch a movie from, for example, the 2000s or now even the 2010s, you could be like, let's re-examine it. Let's see what this means to us in our current cultural moment.
Or why didn't this get its due when it was new?
Yeah, or why did people care about this so much?
Yeah, the context in hindsight. Wow. Or, would this fly now?
I can take you back to the far-flung year of 2022.
Wow, everything was so nice.
People really hated rich people. We felt like society was constantly sliding into an ever worse situation. And the income inequality,
I feel like we're already in the worst situation.
Our country is an island that is on fire. A giant s'more, if you will.
Yes. Mm. Giant s'more.
Spoilers for the movie The Menu.
Yes. Well, I wanted to talk a bit about something that gets brought up in this movie, really only comes up kind of in the middle and through to the end. It's something that doesn't show itself until kind of like the midway point of the film. This film is a little bit of a slobs v. snobs narrative. Mm-hmm. And
whoever wins, we lose.
Yeah, well, I think that on the whole,
Dawn of Justice. That's my alt pitch.
All right. So, so the slobs versus snobs movie. You think you're something like, fucking Animal House or whatever, right? Where it's like, oh, the rich preppy guys are going to be annihilated by the working class heroes. But it's usually more of a cultural thing as opposed to an actual money thing. Like, oh, they like of fine music and fine dining and all that stuff.
They
and
drink wine. We drink beer.
We eat burger. And we eat the slop. And
American pigs, you eat the slop.
Yes. That's and we are dumb Paul American Verhoeven pigs who eat the slop. Impression. As we do. And yes.
We
but
do.
I think that in general, in terms of culture, I think that the slobs have won. I think that the
This is Nick's snob take.
There is
of
no
the episode.
Conflict anymore. I feel like being a little snobby
it's distinctly
is
distinctly snob sided.
I think that caring about what
this is a snob slobber.
You... I'm slobbing on that snob.
Don't slob on my snob.
Don't snob that slob.
Don't snob my slob.
Stop snobbing the slob. Return the slob.
They do that, when they're distressed.
The thing that I am trying to say is that if there was an idea at one point that there was high culture and low culture, at least in America, I can't, of course, speak for other countries, but low culture is very profitable, and so it has absorbed everything into itself. It's easy for me to use movies as an example. Here, I think food also definitely you see that as well. But
it's really a shame that the middle culture is shrinking.
Wow, it's a Republican Seb coming out.
Look on your
ballots.
Oh my God, it's almost that time.
It's an election year.
You need to support the middle culture.
But like the low culture stuff, the garbage, the big budget. Kitty trash movies.
You mean Trolls World Tour?
Yes. Everyone is expected to talk about Trolls
I think
World Tour.
World
like
Tour
entire.
Was a couple years ago. Band Together, I believe,
that
is the latest
film.
How do you guys know about this? Why are you paying attention to that? I've only paid attention to that because
I'm a slob.
No, Bank loves those movies.
Yeah.
No, the television.
Well, Despicable Me 4 is coming out. That's the slop that's coming down the pipeline for me.
Yes, and of course you could say, you know, it's for children. Who cares? And we do say that on this show quite often.
We have many episodes where we've said that.
Yes, but so, something like a couple years ago, actually in 2022, fucking Black Panther was on the Best Picture ballot, right? Mm-hmm. And Black Panther, even
Wakanda Forever,
it was a movie that fucking sucked shit. And that
half of it was a eulogy plenty for of a movies, real guy who yes, died.
Plenty of movies that suck shit get nominated for Best Picture. It happens. Many. It happens all the time.
Many we talked about a scant 2 weeks ago, perhaps.
Yeah. Like Maestro, yeah. You were saying.
Yeah. I still haven't finished watching that.
I feel like if you haven't done it by now, you probably aren't going to.
Bradley Cooper, Leonard Bernstein,
these Maestro. Like. The idea that something could be good, something could be worth being elevated, like it's all the lowest common denominator stuff all the time. You appeal to the widest possible base. You don't alienate anybody. You don't try for something daring or artistic, because that is the idea. That is the domain of these snobs. These snobs who are now like totally imaginary. Like a lot of times when people. I see this a lot because it's mostly just people reposting slop from other horrible social networks, mostly being TikTok. But TikTok is huge. TikTok is the biggest social network among
the slob
a certain
zone.
Amount of people. And it is something that I see all the time is anything that's lit under the tag movies is people going after these imagined snobs that are not like anyone I've ever met in real life.
The fake Twitter straw men?
Yeah. So it's like this idea... That this other of like, oh, can you believe that people's favorite movies are a Marvel movie and not like some Bulgarian drama that's 6 hours long and filmed through the eye of a pigeon? It's like no movie is like that. You invented it, but no person is like that either.
I would watch that though.
Yes. Somebody in real life might scoff at you if you said your favorite movie was a Marvel movie. It could be me, but that's not, they don't get mad at you for not having seen this movie you just made up. They want you to experience something good.
So
is this a slobs aren't real point take?
No,
for
it's
Ian
a, it's
or snobs aren't real. I'm
these,
sorry.
These
I'm slobbered. My slob brain.
The snob is a dying breed, and so is the culture that they would come from.
Okay.
Yeah, hipsters
the
are
low
so
culture,
10 years ago.
Low culture has won. It has absorbed everything into itself. The Oscars, where you're supposed to give out like the prestige, where people would talk about movies being Oscar bait and people would try really hard to get something in there. Like a fucking toy commercial
like
was on the Best
Maestro,
Picture ballot this
like,
year.
I don't know that the
like
slobs
the film,
have
Bradley
won
film,
because they were always the ruling class in terms
That's
of culture.
Fair.
I think there was a movement of snobs trying to fight back against slobs.
And they lost.
But, yeah, and they lost. And wow. Now we have survivorship bias where... When you look back, you only see the things that snobs liked or still like from the past. But if you were there at the time, people were probably all going to see the B movies and the, you know, the chick flicks.
B movie was actually very bad.
Yeah. Slob stuff used to have a bit of snob in it. And now it's totally divergent.
Well, you only think that.
It's true. That I am coming to it from the point of the future. But
okay.
We were just joking about Trolls World Tour, right?
Mm-hmm. And Trolls Band Together.
That's
the newest one.
But
I don't know if there's another one in there. But
one of the things that I try to bring up when I was talking about that fucking TikTok thing earlier, I saw somebody complaining because they were watching press for Dune.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, why would you do that
Dennis
to yourself?
Latest film,
like those
Dune
actor
two.
Interview things where it's like, oh man, what's your favorite movie? And they asked Austin Butler what his favorite movie when he was a kid was. They asked what his favorite movie when he was.
And he's like 14 right now, right?
He was Elvis. It was Elvis 14. No, so Austin Butler said, my favorite movie when I was a kid was Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Mm-hmm. And this guy who's doing a TikTok react, which me talking about it is already means he's won.
Yeah.
But he's like, come on, dude. Your favorite movie, nobody's favorite movie when they were a kid was Good, the Bad,
it's
and
the Ugly.
It's
the top five
just,
for me.
You know, just say it was a fucking the Lion King or whatever. It's like, it used to be a phenomenon where kids would be able to, would watch adult movies all the time. Or like, why wouldn't a kid like a movie where cowboys shoot guns at each other for 3 hours?
Yeah.
That's awesome. It's great. That's not even like an especially... like dense movie.
It's
to
a
get
pretty
into.
Yeah. It's a pretty poppy movie anyway.
Yeah,
or pulpy.
But the idea that that is too much. That is like you're doing this for clout. Like
no,
it's just a regular movie.
There's no superhero in that movie.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you guys still watch Comet Etiquette?
I haven't in a while, but so I would like to go back.
Coincidentally, his last episode was about high culture on the internet.
We love high culture.
And so he went through and tried to watch a bunch of stuff that he thought that a snob would watch. Yeah. So he watched, there was one of the ones I particularly remember, he played the whole thing. It was like a Vimeo, you know how Vimeo hosts all those like art films and stuff like that? And so he watches this one that is just a shot. Like, at first it's just a shot of two men shaking hands, right? Mm-hmm. And you think that that's supposed to be the point where it's like, oh, everybody's clapping because they shook hands. Oh, that's, you know, some commentary on that business deals or political deals or something. And then it morphs into some kind of body horror where one of the guys, his hands, he just keeps growing hands and absorbing the other guy. And then another guy, the janitor, kills him, and it becomes a slasher, basically. And he's acting like, oh, you know, like very, this is very high culture, you know, like all this.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So it like that conversation that he basically had in that video kind of really fits in with this conversation, where what you think is the snob stuff isn't actually that different a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's, I see, like, people who are snobs usually come at it from the perspective of, I care about what I watch and I would like it to be better. At least when it comes to film, right? Mm-hmm. But and food, too, in a certain way. They're like, you know, I care about what I put into my body and I would like it to be better.
Yeah.
I need to spend $800 on an oyster.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I will literally die.
You go to, if you turn the dial too far, you get the people who need to have gold foil on their oysters. Mm. But I feel like that's also, in a way, that's also slobbery. Mm-hmm. slobbery is like robbery. It's
highway slobbery.
But like, I don't know. I'm trying to articulate the point that I have here of like this whole idea of in this movie, at the end, I guess spoilers for the 2022 movie, The
spoilers
Menu.
Spoilers for the film, The Menu.
Anya Taylor-Joy is like, all this bullshit you've been feeding me sucks and I'm still hungry. You know what I really want? A cheeseburger.
I want good food.
Yes. Actually. I want something Instead that tastes ideas. Good and will actually fill my stomach.
And then Ralph Fiennes' like service brain like just turns on and he becomes a robot that just does whatever she wants. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Well, yeah. And I think that the way that scene is positioned, like, I understand where it's coming from, but it almost feels a little, it feels a bit like some other kinds of epic takedowns you see, right? Like, oh, people don't want to watch this bullshit. People just want.
I'd rather be watching Iron Man.
I'd rather be watching Iron Man, or I'd rather be watching, you know.
Trolls Band Together.
Why are you stuck on this?
I gotta be able to think of a better example than this. Adam Sandler's Click.
Nobody write us an email telling us to watch the Trolls movie. Thank
Please
you.
Please, no. That will be, if you're listening to this, you didn't hear that.
She will make us do that.
That will be vetoed.
You have to watch the other
movie
first.
From 2022 is already pushing it, but
yeah.
Thanks,
Together is 2023?
Thanks for your email.
I saw this a lot when the whole Martin Scorsese discourse was happening, right?
Well, he doesn't like Marvel movies.
Yeah,
he's a snob.
And like, this is like they're like, oh, like people acting like they're too good for Martin Scorsese movies when they're such popcorny movies. Like, you know, they are at no point, like, okay, so we didn't watch Zone of Interest because we didn't have the time to see it in a theater near us, right? Mm-hmm. That is a movie that allegedly challenges you to like witness the horror and continue watching and stuff like that. The Scorsese movies are just like action. They're getting you through. They're constantly demanding your attention. Even if they're showing you something horrible, they are making it entertaining through frame and presentation.
I can see where you're coming from on this, Nick. Mm-hmm. And I think it's more of like an anti-intellectualism like positing. It's like it's part that, and it's part like having a chip on your shoulder about like anything that isn't the most popular thing right now. I don't know. I think it is. I think for the most part, you're right in that it's like someone making up a person to be mad at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. It's like the people pretending that there's a guy out there that would make fun of them for their opinions.
Yeah.
And I mean, there is always a guy who would make fun of you for your opinions, but it's not always and rarely actually the people that you think they are. It's like you, literally your friends.
I definitely, I am not, you know, like above popcorn entertainment. My last episode was fucking Tintin, for God's sakes, right? Mm-hmm. And like, sure, it's a European comic, but it's a European comic for like little Belgian boys in suspenders. Like
I think something that just kind of unlocked for me is that mm-hmm. I think that like a lot of folk kind of still have the mentality that they're the that their hobbies, that the things they like are not, they're still either like nerdy or unpopular, or
even when they're the biggest thing in the entire world.
Right.
Even it's like the switch between anime being for
anime was going to be my touch point for that, because everyone watches anime. It's a normal thing to do now, but
even like 10, 15 years ago, when we were
a lot
in high
of people
school.
Who like anime still have this weird chip on their shoulder about it mm-hmm. because of the way that they think that people think about their hobby.
Yeah.
This is actually a great example because I love One Piece, right? So I get constantly pushed a lot of One Piece content stuff, and they think that I am a like shonen power scaler or a shonen booster or whatever. And I get so much of this shit about people talking about how like Jujutsu Kaisen is peak fiction or whatever, and I'm caught up, it's not. But that there is a lot of good manga out there, and there's a lot of good comics out there, and I see people who like this shonen stuff who won't move beyond that and experience really good stuff in the medium because they, in their mind, it can only be one thing.
If there aren't power levels, I'm really not interested in it.
Right.
I think it's what they're used to, and it's also the popular thing.
It is also
like
the
some people
thing.
Won't make the effort to go seek out more. I don't want to say more challenging shows, but more.
It
like,
is more challenging. Anything is more challenging than a battle shonen.
Yeah. Like, they won't make the effort to go look
fucking
for anything.
K-On! Is more challenging than a battle show.
It's an intellectual show for smart people, actually.
No, I know a lot of people who are only ever into the popular anime because they don't go looking for stuff themselves, or their friends are like, go watch this! And that's where they get all of their mm-hmm. recommendations. They don't actually watch anything necessarily because they thought it would be interesting randomly after they heard about it. They just
I think it might be good to just get out there. Mm-hmm. Not that we're going to get yelled at by anyone, but I think there is not a wrong way to engage with a hobby. But no. I think it's an in curiosity perhaps mm-hmm. that is taken over a lot of popular conversations about media, and it's just people getting really entrenched in the thing that they like and not and making up people that are mad at them for it.
Mm-hmm. This dovetails into something that I was thinking about doing for next week, but I might not do it.
Wow. We're going to do something challenging?
The opposite of that.
Something that puts us out of our comfort zone?
So there's a trend recently in that the way a lot of people I see online are finding out about books is through this horrible thing called Book Talk, right?
What?
And it's just like total, like the most patronizing slop for women I have ever seen.
Okay.
And when I look up passages from these like quote unquote book talk books that are getting pushed to through algorithms to
like
readers,
book TOK like,
yes,
TikTok?
Like TikTok.
Okay.
TikTok right. For people who like literature, except it's not for people who like books as a whole. It's just this one specific shitty kind of like bad smut book written by somebody who spends 14 hours a day on their phone.
It's not necessarily smut, but it is definitely geared towards women.
I think it would be kind of fun to seek these out. But I also wonder, is that like super punching down?
TikTok literotica for an episode?
Do you want us to read it?
I don't want to pick one. I think it would be fun to try and like to each find one.
I'd have to install
TikTok. Like how much do we have to read?
I don't know.
I'm not installing TikTok.
I don't think we need to install TikTok. We can find out about this shit through.
But this is a
book talks.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. This is an interesting idea, though.
I think it is
funny to be soft pitching books to Zoomers, though. That's
funny. That's what they're doing, and they are like these.
Like, have you ever heard of these? Check this out.
And of
reading
course, the
it's fun.
Know, the infinite library is out there, right? Like there are infinite stories out there, and there are a lot of really good pieces of fiction and. Like all these
nothing
crazy
beats the original though. We've established this on the show.
That's right. No, it's not going to be Gilgamesh, but you know,
nothing beats
you
the first story.
Truly. Last year I read The Three Body Problem and I really, really liked it. That Netflix show is eventually coming out allegedly. Mm. I thought that for sure they were going to fucking can that, but I got a trailer like 2 weeks ago. I guess they could still
cancel. That's what I'm thinking.
Eight episodes.
Yeah, so
that's for sure.
So the point I was trying to make with all this stuff is that like it's yeah, you're right. It's an anti-intellectualism. It's an incuriosity. It's this idea that nothing exists beyond what is in front of them. And for people to say like, "Oh, I don't need like a fancy meal. I just need a burger." And that is what the end of this movie makes me think of sometimes.
Yeah,
that is not necessarily what they are saying.
I'm looking
at the end
forward
of this
to unpacking how we feel about what this movie has to say.
Yes.
Because I definitely have some thoughts, and it's weird. But I see where you're coming from. It's an interesting way to tie it in. Cause...
Any more slobs v. snobs thoughts? Any more snob puns that you want to get in there?
No, I don't know. I think a lot of the times the things that snobs enjoy are very good.
Yes,
but people can
agree.
Be very annoying about it. I think the particular kind of snob that people make up in their heads, you do run into sometimes, and it is
maybe
insufferable.
Maybe I'm just been very lucky. Or maybe I am that guy. You know what?
Sometimes you're snob, but sometimes you're slob.
I couldn't have said it better myself. All right, we're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to come back with the menu. Get ready for the next course.
Wow.
Is that going to fit everyone?
Yeah, easily. 12 customers total.
How do they turn a profit?
$12.50 a head, that's how.
What, are we eating a Rolex?
It's one of his classics.
You have to try the mouthfeel of the Mignonette.
Please don't say mouthfeel.
Tonight will be madness.
Welcome. We'll endeavor to make your evening as pleasant as possible.
Welcome to Hawthorne.
Here we are family.
Yes, sir!
We harvest, we ferment, we gel.
They gel?
We gel.
He's not just a chef, he's a storyteller. The game is trying to guess what the overarching theme of the entire meal is going to be. You won't know till the end.
Who are you?
I am Margo. Why do you care?
I have to know if you're with us. Or with them. This menu.
The pictures, they're of us.
This guest list.
How do they get these?
It's not good.
This entire evening.
Jesus Christ.
This is just theater, it's stagecraft.
We're leaving now.
Has been painstakingly planned.
This is real, isn't it?
What the hell is going on?
We now offer you a 45-second head start.
Okay, 45 seconds starts now.
This is what you're paying for.
Get out of my way.
It's all part of the menu.
It's okay.
No, we're gonna die today.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you.
You told him it was my birthday?
Seemed funny about 3 hours ago.
Back everyone to Please Don't Listen to This, Your Light Depends on It, the show where we do something different every single week. And this week we watched the 2022 film The Menu. This suggestion comes to us from a listener and friend and patron of the show, Andrew, who sent this email back in December, which shows you how long it takes us to get to stuff. Hey y'all, First off, I wanted to thank you for the Dragula episode. It made me really happy that y'all were able to get so much enjoyment out of something you wouldn't normally check out, and I enjoyed listening to what you had to say about it, so thank you. And I would like to formally apologize for that Dragula episode. It has some of the worst fucking audio we've ever recorded.
It is my fault, and I'm sorry.
We're gonna stop letting Seb take the heat for things. So,
it is literally my fault.
Second, I was going to wait a while before making another suggestion, but I listened to an older podcast app, and one of you made a joke about something that I've been wanting to check out for a while, so I sat down and watched it, and now I can't stop thinking about it. Some of you have already seen it, but I think it'd make a really good, interesting episode, whether you think it's good or whether you think it's actually quite bad. Yes, I'm talking about The Menu. Sincerely, Andrew, everyone I know lives on my phone. I'm sure that's just a signature, but, thank you for the suggestion, and I'm pretty sure it was me and Cam, talking about the quality of the movie, The Menu, while doing Ralph Fiennes impressions.
Yeah.
First we were saying, oh yeah, I liked it. And then I said, it was actually quite bad. Yeah. Except I kept putting way more on his accent.
More stank on it.
Cam thought it was actually quite so bad that he didn't want to come back to talk
about
it.
He just said he didn't have anything interesting to say, but I think he would have enjoyed that first segment, which is a shame.
He wouldn't have enjoyed sitting here for an hour trying to make a computer work, but...
No, he might have killed me. So,
I was pretty
Seb
close.
Was ready to kill me, but we're still making good time.
That's what we do here on Please Don't This Cast. Make good time.
That's right. We make a good time with each other.
Wow.
And that's what life is all about.
Being with your friends is the real good time.
That's right.
I hate you guys.
Is that right before all of this goes up in flames?
Yeah. Please forgive me as I pour.
Yeah, I'm going to monologue about why I hate the both of you, and then I'm going to like put marshmallows on your heads and blow you up.
Which one of us is getting stabbed in the thigh with a very tiny knife?
Very midsommar.
Well, see, ending. I already did that to Cam, and that's why he's not here.
Do we have some
background for this one?
This is a first-time director, not first-time scriptwriter, but this is like... This movie didn't come out of nowhere.
Directorial debut.
Yes, it is an A24 production. And I saw someone...
Is it A24
online.
Or is it A24?
A24.
Okay.
I'm thinking
a snob would say A24.
Would they?
I think so.
I don't know what...
I only watch A24 movies.
Yeah, definitely. A24 spelled out. You'd like spell it out in words, not
I'm
in
I'm really
letters.
Confused about this bit. Guys, I need help. Please explain to me what's going on.
A24
is the production
company.
Sorry,
I didn't mean to start this. I was genuinely not sure.
That's the name of the people. That's the people's way to say it.
The thing that their films have in common is that they have that logo in front of the film. Mm-hmm. This was very much fitting in with what was going on at the time in film in terms of releases. And with what was kind of going on. But this script comes from the, I think we brought this up before, the Hollywood Blacklist.
Oh,
Where it's like, these are the unproduced scripts that people think are really good.
It's
and
the best unproduced scripts in Hollywood.
Yes.
And anytime anyone makes something out of one of those, it's usually only okay.
Wasn't Bright? Didn't Bright come off that list?
There's a lot of... I recommend looking it up sometime.
I would actually like to read off a couple of those. All because right. I think that it is...
There are a lot of surprising ones on there, but not a lot of great movies, I think.
It just shows you that either these scripts were all really good and Hollywood can make a shit movie out of anything, including a good, very good script. Or it shows you that what Hollywood executives think are the quote-unquote good scripts might not have anything to do with that.
I wonder when the directors pick these ones up, how much leeway they're given in actually changing them, though.
Well.
So maybe they have to just do it straight. Or maybe they get given to directors who can't or don't want to salvage them.
Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't work in the industry.
Oh, The American 2010. Altered Carbon, which got adapted to television.
Mm-hmm.
You can read ones that we've
heard
of.
The Bucket List.
There you go.
Charlie Wilson's War. I don't know if you guys know that one. Fucking Dexter was on there, and that got adapted to television.
That got big.
They rebooted it.
Yeah.
He's back from being a woodsman.
Wait, Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift was on the blacklist? Mm. Why?
It's a movie about drifting. Nobody wanted to make those for a while.
Jesus Christ. What?
Initial D already did it.
Little Miss Sunshine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Like, I'm just... Meet Dave.
Oh, we love to meet Dave.
That's the one that got the giant fucking head that they drove around. Yeah. Eddie Murphy head they drove around that Neil Cicerega used as an album cover.
Two trucks.
The Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor. Jesus Christ. I'm looking at these... I'm not seeing, like, good stuff on here.
That's the thing.
Oh, hey, Stardust, which I'm sure you're familiar with, right? Isn't that the one that's adapted from the Neil Gaiman comic?
Maybe.
Mm. Where the girl lands in a meteor.
I don't know that one. Oh, you don't know every Neil Gaiman thing I've ever.
Maybe that's... Is that... Am I...
Am I being prejudiced here?
Yeah, I know. Just because Seth's gay. Seth doesn't know everything about Neil Gaiman, okay? Come on.
I've read all of Sandman. I've read some of his other comics.
It would only be prejudiced to me if I was talking to a bisexual alt girl with one or two piercings, and I said, "Oh, do you know about this Neil Gaiman thing?" That would be me being prejudiced.
Mm. I think you're on thin ice anyway, buddy.
I am, for sure. Some of the things I said, especially during the Tintin episode that came out, some of the things I said about my opinions on various European countries.
You're talking about a lot of different races in that episode.
Yeah, but the point, Wild Hogs.
I was trying to pull that. That's the one.
And right next to Wild Hogs, Zodiac.
Wow.
Really?
That's right. I think that's why. I think the Blank Check episode 4 Zodiac is where this all came up. But I recommend that episode. We can't talk about it in this show because we already covered it.
Yeah.
Walk Hard, fucking Super Bad.
Somebody is going to listen to this Scott episode Pilgrim and search our feed for Zodiac and be really confused.
Yes.
Why am I listening to a podcast about somebody finding their old files?
Our water.
The Hangover. But the point I'm trying to make is there is a list of wildly varying quality. Mm. That something being on the Hollywood blacklist does not necessarily make it good, and often means it's actually quite bad.
There we go. How many times are we going to pay that joke off?
We're going to do it a lot, but just because it's a fun thing to repeat. Doing Ralph Fiennes impressions is great. If we had a Grand Budapest Hotel episode, I would also be doing that all the time. Mm. Because he's just got one of those voices that's fun to imitate. It's like
he's also not very good at singing.
Mm.
Once I called you brother.
Seb's Boss Baby movie is the Prince of Egypt.
Prince of Egypt and Treasure Planet.
Getting Boss Baby vibes from this.
Yeah, getting real Treasure Planet vibes from this. We're going to do Treasure Island and you're going to be like, oh, I'm getting a lot of Treasure Planet vibes from this.
I really expected them to go on a spaceship.
What is it? What's the main character's name? Hawk? Is
Jim that his last Hawkins. Name?
Thank you. Okay.
That was really close. Yeah, I got to give you some credit there. I would not have been able to pull that.
In Treasure Planet, his middle name is Pleiades.
Yep.
So this movie's about a guy named Tyler who basically hires an escort to be his date to this fine dining island.
Mm-hmm.
This escort, Aaron, is kind of our window into what as an outsider into this strange island, and it's very ominous from the beginning, but at first you just think it is because, you know, she is an outsider in this world.
Rich people are scary.
Over the course of the night, it becomes clear that this is actually, this island
it's
and this meal is actually quite bad. It is a delicately baited trap for every single person that was individually invited
it's
there.
It's a performance piece.
It is a performance piece. It
you
is
wouldn't
art.
Really get it.
It's not a trap. They paid for it. They knew what they were getting into.
They do sign the checks.
Art.
It's and art.
It's the scariest thing of all.
And Ralph finds... illustrates his grievances with all of these people. We have a food critic. We've got regulars to his $1,000 a plate restaurant. We've got
tech bro. They read to me as tech bros, but
they're tech bro scammers.
They're finance bros. Yeah,
they're finance bros who are also work for his angel investor.
Yeah,
and then we've also got
why they put him in angel wings.
A washed up actor. He even says angel investor.
I know. I don't know why I didn't put that together.
But they go through the courses one by one, and Anya Taylor-Joy tries to figure out how to get out. Yeah, it's but like I mean, as you see, a lot of them aren't exactly food? Substantial, or some of them are not even food.
Some of them are a guy blowing his brains out.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's just the statement piece.
Three suicides in this film. More than usual. I think the average suicide per movie, you get like 0.5.
One point five.
But you gotta this movie's punching above its weight in terms of how many suicides you have on screen. This is one of the only movies that I can say that Emily saw a trailer for and was like, I really want to go see that.
Wow. She wanted to see the film?
And I kept forgetting that it was coming out. Not because the premise is necessarily forgettable.
When did this come out? I mean, I know 2022.
But... Right at the end of 2022. Okay. It was like in November or December.
Okay.
It was like, it was right really close to the end of the year.
Because I didn't get a chance to watch this when we did our movie roundup, but I hadn't heard about it until late, I think. I don't know. I definitely missed the theater run.
I remember sorting out the list for Secret Santa that year while we were at the Mystic Diner after we had seen the movie.
Wow.
So that's a very like specific memory.
Time and
for
a place. Yeah.
Yeah.
Connected and with food.
Yes, exactly. Wow. And it felt very appropriate.
Was the food good?
The food was good. Oh, okay. I was just there last weekend and it was still quite good.
It's Mystic Diner.
It was actually quite good.
It was actually quite good.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually quite good.
Somebody's done that edit, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't think anyone is as obsessed with that delivery as me. So if
deleted
it's
scene
kind of
on the DVD,
quite
good.
You want me to do some fucking TF2 ass sentence mixing for that? Yeah, I'll put that together for you. I'm sure he says good at some point in the film. I'll find
you have to
it.
Get the heavy saying good.
Yeah,
and then put it in there.
Good. Actually quite
good.
What a show.
What a show.
Are here.
But,
all right, can I jump into this first?
Yeah, Alex, tell me what you thought of The Menu.
Wow. So this definitely came up. I mean, it probably came up. The reason we're doing this is because we talked about it on our 2022 movie special, I'm sure. You guys probably mentioned it. I don't really remember.
We talked about it when we were talking about Triangle of Sadness because we talked about them being of a piece with each other. Those two and Glass Onion all coming out in the same year.
I want to get into that just a little bit. Because, like, in watching this, this movie felt very 2022 because there were, like, three... I kind of count Tar as four big movies about rich people who are bad getting their comeuppance for being bad.
Very Eat the Rich.
Yeah, it was an Eat the Rich year. And for a while, just hearing about this movie, I thought that this movie was about eating the rich literally. I thought that there was cannibalism in this film.
I do think that you asked me at one point when I mentioned the menu, said, "Oh, the cannibal movie," and I was like, "No."
I definitely thought that. I think I don't know if it's an intentional redirect, but I or why I got that in my head at all. But it feels like that would not have been too far off in a film like this.
Yeah. So. When I started watching, I had no idea what this was.
Yeah.
I thought it says The Menu, and I was like, okay, it's a film about food. And for some reason, I didn't realize it was a horror flick or a slasher or anything like that. And
didn't
I was
read
just
the
like,
genre tags or
anything. I didn't read anything about it. So I was like, oh, it's just a movie. It's the bear.
Oh, they're having
a
nice
movie.
Meal.
Yeah. They're it's probably about some guy struggling to perfect his menu and some. Something like that.
Even once it starts, you could think it's a relationship drama because you have these two characters that are obviously very tense with each other, you know?
Yeah. So for a while, I thought that it was just a movie about food, like high-class food. And then they start doing the redirects, and I was starting to think, same thing.
Yeah.
The menu is people.
Yeah.
I
think that would have been hackier. I'm glad that they don't do that, but I was expecting it the whole time, pretty much.
I might have enjoyed it more.
Yeah. No, I think it was a classier move not to do that, I think.
It's classier, but I don't think what they did was pulled off.
Yeah. Well, anyway. We'll get into that. I do want to unpack the end of this movie and some of the messaging that this movie has.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely did enjoy it more than I was expecting to because I think the consensus was a little more down on it from what I've heard from you guys in the like 2 years since it came out.
Yeah. I think that it fit the moment quite well, but I think that it doesn't, in terms of it being a satire, it's not clear. It doesn't have a clear target or purpose. I think that this movie is
definitely
just
spread shot.
Fine. And that's okay. Like, you don't need to be like a next level, like super precise takedown of a specific thing. I think that this movie has a lot of like what it's like to make art for anyone, for another person.
And whether
being rich is disconnects you from reality, or like how a person can lose themselves over years of trying to be better at something. But it doesn't have all those things that are kind of swirled up together.
It is. And, it's gesturing at a lot of ideas that would resonate and are interesting, but aren't. It's not very focused of a movie, maybe. And
there's too many things on the menu.
I do like a broad satire. That same year, I think I kept bringing this back to Triangle of Sadness in my mind because that was a touch point for me both that year and a very similar kind of comedic takedown of rich people and the culture of all that kinds of stuff. But I think that movie is a lot funnier and maybe has more to say. But it's a more focused message, maybe. But I do like that both of these movies are not subtle in the least. Like, I am glad, like, 2022 also kind of was the year, like, where I really felt the death of subtlety in movies, and I am, like, there for it. I'm super down for a lot of the popular films that year being like, this is what this movie is about. I'm going to tell it directly to you. Or in this case, they're telling you a lot of different things that this movie is about, but they're not leaving anything ambiguous, really.
They even say, Sualek, the chef, Ralph Fiennes' character, is literally kind of going on monologues about every single person and why he's killing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, there's the assistant for the actor guy whose name I can't remember. And
John Leguizamo.
Him.
Yeah, I don't remember the character's name, but
yeah. So his assistant is just kind of there because she's his assistant, and she's like, "What about me? What's wrong with me?" And he's like, "Would you go to school?" She's like, "Brown." And he says, "Student loans?" And she says, "No." And he's like, "Yeah, sorry, you're dying." Yeah. I'm like, that is the most heavy, like, that might be the most heavy-handed line. Yeah,
it's a funny joke.
Yeah.
It is funny.
It's funny, but it got a big laugh
in the theater when we saw it.
Yeah.
It's a good bit. But I do like, I think that this movie is, like, I admire that they're not subtle at all with the way that they are, the way that this movie is presented, because I think it is good to be direct in a movie like this. I think it is a kind of a refreshing take. This is maybe my slob brain talking, my anti-intellectualism opinion, but I think subtlety can be very good, but I think subtlety has been used in movies more than I might like. I think it is refreshing to have something that like this just says, like, I'm going to kill you all because you're bad people and I don't like you. And it's like, okay, all right, I'm in it.
Mm.
I did enjoy this. I think it was interesting the way that it all kind of unraveled. I like how the like first course is like almost normal food, and then like he starts to get cute with like not serving them bread.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only the things that would accompany bread, like it's like fucking olive oil and like balsamic dressing.
It's like he's at that point he is like kind of disguising his disdain for these people, but like even at that point the critic and a couple people are like, should I be insulted by this? This feels like has some disdain for us. And of course he does, because that's the point, you know, the plot of the movie. But
they get to the point where they have pancakes and they have like a little burner, you know, like a pattern.
What was a tortilla? It's Taco Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Taco Tuesday. I'm sorry.
Apparently that line, the way he like does that little story.
I heard that in the sauna. That, yeah.
He improvises it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great line. And this movie doesn't do a ton with his mom also being there.
Yeah.
There's no monologue about why he hates his mom, but you kind of get it.
She's a drunk and so was his dad.
No, you kind of get it through that one, but that one they're less, he doesn't just tell the story of why he hates them like he does with everybody else, really.
And there are 11 people there, not counting his mom, and he says all 12 of you are takers.
Yeah.
Like you take something from the world.
Yeah.
And like,
I think that might have been my favorite part. Yeah. All the tortilla stuff was really good. Like everybody being like, Like, oh, fuck, what does this mean?
It's the addresses of the places that she got closed down for the critic.
It's all, like, very, like, personal stuff about the wrongdoing that these people have done in his eyes. I thought, like, our main character, dude, is, like, it's kind of vague why,
he's obsessed. He's an obsessive foodie.
Yeah. I guess the point is that this guy's petty, the chef. But it feels like one of the lesser crimes.
Well, so what he says is, to Tyler, is that he says, you have removed all the mystery from our art.
Yeah.
And I think it's that he's, like, obsessed with knowing who he is. Like, he's... I couldn't really put my finger on it either, but I kind of got it.
Yeah, I mean, I think
it's... In the obsession,
he's
trying to find out literally everything about it.
Like a Magician's Secrets type situation.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting, and I think it all makes sense when, like, he big dogs him, and he does the, like, okay, you make the food then.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, like, that's a really good, effective scene.
See, that to me is very much like a pointing a gun at critics thing. Like, if this was coming from a director who had, like, a bunch of movies under their belt,
you'd definitely say, that is definitely a filmmaker saying,
it's like, oh,
if
you
you're
think
so
is,
smart.
You, yeah, which I mean, I mean... This is something that comes up a lot in many different spaces. I feel it especially in the anti-intellectualism that comes with video games. People who like video games are mentally 11 years old. Mm. And so when they see a bad review for a video game that they haven't even played, they go, if you think that this game is so bad, why don't you just make your fucking own? It's like,
why don't you make the better
criticizing
game?
Criticizing art is not the same as making it. It's they're two different skills to have.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you can make a bad game... Mm-hmm. And be a good critic at the same time. You can also be a good critic and not be able to make a game.
I know a
lot
of people who make
famously
games
made that movie
are very bad at
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, right? He wrote that. Didn't he write that?
I don't know. I buy that
Red
he's
Letter
not
Media
a good
made
filmmaker.
That really dog shit movie, Space Comp, whatever it was, something like that.
But I think the taco stuff was really good, and I think my other favorite moment is, of course, where we get our the stupid joke that we've been making this whole time from. I think this is actually quite bad. I think it would have been a better scene if I hadn't heard you guys quote that so much, because I'm like, oh, this is coming up. This is what it's from.
It's like, yeah, get in here. They hastily write Tyler on his fucking
all the just the pure
chef's coat.
Condescension, and then, like, of course, like, he literally tells him to go kill himself, and he does. Insane.
He just listens to him.
But I enjoyed this. Like, this movie definitely isn't. It has some interesting stuff to say, but it did not really make me think. And I think Andrew might have put that in their email, but I don't. I don't want you to feel bad for. I think that it's good that this movie gave you something to think about, but I don't know if it did for me.
Well, does Andrew say that
he said
gave
that
something
he has
good
been
or bad
thinking
think
about
it.
The movie?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Thinking about it doesn't necessarily.
There's
mean,
like
it,
yeah.
This movie did give me
I just
a lot
don't,
to think
yeah.
about. Not in the same. Way as, for example, Killers of the Flower Moon gave me a lot to think about on like a why is society built this way kind of thing.
Yeah.
But more of like a thinking about maybe specific scenes or like, you know, some of the ideas that this movie have in it can like be the spark to something that makes you think of something else.
Yeah,
right?
It can jog something loose that, you know, maybe you can tie back to something personal and it connects in some way or another. But I think that's probably all for me. I think it is interesting, and I like the point. Like, I feel like some of the point of this movie is how like petty and weird the chef is specifically. Like,
yes,
bringing all of your specific weird hang-ups into one place to then kill them is good. But the interesting, funny part to me is that none of these like. All of these people are very different on the, like, it's like personal slights, and then it's people who are actually bad, and it's people he just doesn't care for. Like, the actor just being in a movie he didn't like is, like, the ultimate, like, weird power trip, petty.
You saw it on his only day off.
Yeah, it's just, it is incredible, and it is funny that it's, like, if I was going to jigsaw style kill a bunch of people and I was a chef, maybe it wouldn't all be people who really deserved it.
Yeah, it'd so, be like that guy who cut you off on the highway. That could be a fine guy. He could.
Yeah.
But he could have just been in a rush.
Sure.
Uh-huh. So, or could be that they went to college in,
in Brown. Boston.
Yeah.
Alex, I have to know, what do you think of the burger in this movie?
It's a good looking hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Smashed.
I was a little appalled that there was no nothing on it. Like, just burger, cheese, bun. Well,
that is That's basically the burger that I ate. I specifically was like, let's get hamburgers before we showed up for the podcast.
Yeah. That's how I knew, like, I mean, if I didn't know otherwise, I knew you had watched the movie because you were like, oh yeah, I want a fucking burger.
I did just watch the movie today. Uh-huh. So I was like, I need to eat a hamburger.
I've been craving a burger since I watched the movie.
So. Yeah.
And we went to a local place, and it turned out pretty good. I was very happy with that burger.
Yeah.
I think that I think we'll probably get a chance to unpack exactly what they're trying to say at the end of this movie, but we can probably get to that a little later, but I do want to hear what you guys think. I did really think that hamburger looked great, though.
Yeah. Seb, what did you think of the menu?
The menu was actually quite meh.
All right.
So actually, as I sit here, I kind of appreciate it a little bit more.
We always like jog stuff loose when we talk about stuff like this.
Yeah, I feel like, so it was like fine. I actually couldn't stop watching it, but I was going to try to do other stuff while watching it, like podcast thumbnails.
It's a pretty snappy movie too. It kind of just goes. It's like an hour and a half, and it's not that slow.
Well, I had a sativa gummy, so anything that I put in front of me, like while I have a gummy, is like that's the thing I'm doing now.
Nice.
Which is why, like, normally if I take one, I'll take it to like focus, to like hyper focus on something, and the thing has to be set up in front of me before it kicks in.
Yep.
Otherwise I will be doing whatever else is in front of me the entire time.
I'm gonna have to keep that in mind. I'm gonna come over and put my taxes in front of you or something. Just be like, all right, I'm doing this.
So it's like that test with the marshmallows, right? Where it's like, even if they don't want the marshmallows, if they're in front of someone, the person will keep eating them.
Yeah. I like to wear them and then get set on fire.
That's
just the way that I do it.
Teach their own.
So I watched this. Kind of like I was very focused on it, but I think most of the time I was kind of trying to figure out the message, and the message just is kind of like, and what I'm starting to appreciate is it is just kind of like a rant, like about I'm so mad, and that was what everybody felt like in 2022. Everyone's pissed off at everyone else, and you know, they make a point to point out that the service workers are the only ones who aren't bad. So Erin is a service worker. She's a, you know, a sex worker, an escort. And then of course you've got the people in the kitchen. So the chef, he views himself as a service worker. And actually towards the end of the movie, how Erin gets out of this situation is that she activates his service brain by saying, I would like to send my food back. I would like to have a burger instead. And then he goes and makes a burger. And the reason she does this is because she found a picture in sort of like a back room.
His secret room. His angel room.
Yep. Of all his accomplishments as a chef. And the very, like, the oldest picture is like he's a teenager flipping burgers.
Employee of the month, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. He loves flipping burgers. Mm-hmm. Right. And he's just become, over the years, he's become jaded in his years in the service industry. Because of people who didn't treat him right, people who didn't appreciate him.
I think he said, like, I think he definitely, like, one of his, like, rants or one of the things that he says is, like, that he thought that, like, fancier food, like, meant it, like, serving for more expensive clientele meant it was better and more important.
He says when he first starts talking to Erin about her background as a service worker, when he's talking about her, about being one of her own breed, he says something along the lines of, I put so much work into my craft that the prices ballooned.
Yeah.
Because I was using more expensive ingredients. I was putting more work into it. I was hiring more people. And that meant that the prices had to go up to consume that. But then the only people that could come eat it were the people who couldn't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah. So it's a lot about not being appreciated by the higher class. So it becomes a narrative about not necessarily class warfare, but there's differences, like a split between classes and access and stuff like that. It's like, you know, when I worked framing at AC Moore, the only people who really ever could normally afford framing were people who were actually quite well off, because
quite rich.
I have a story about one lady. God, I'm not going into that.
Something along this lines that you guys just made me think of was the scene where he goes to the couple that are regulars there, and he's like, "Can you name one? Well, you've been here seven times or whatever. Can you name one food that you have eaten here?" And he can't do it. Yeah. I thought that was so good.
And the wife is like, "Cod," and he's like, "No, it was halibut."
Yeah.
But
and that just, of course, underlines, you know, what Nick was saying earlier, the line from where that he says that the people who can't afford this food don't give a shit about it. It's a status symbol for them.
It's access, and so, you know, of course, the first four courses are him, as you said, Alex, making fun of them for that. Mm-hmm. He serves them fucking, you know, seawater and no bread and like it's just a bunch of shit that you like, where he is removing the active enjoyable element from it.
Yeah,
right.
It is is not an indulgent treat like food would be.
Meanwhile, Tyler's sitting there stuffing his face with the condiments.
Yeah,
and he's like, "No, yeah, you don't get it. It's great.
It's
and
sophisticated."
I don't think he ever really understood the performance part of it.
Yeah.
So I have started. I think I still don't think the movie is that good. I think it tries to talk about too many things without being specific about any of them. Aside from maybe the service industry stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if it has a. I don't want to. This is, it's mean to say that it doesn't have a point regarding that, but
like
it is.
It wants to
it
have
just,
a point.
It brings that up, and of course, us as viewers, as sympathetic viewers, agree that being a service worker is bad.
Everyone should have to do it though.
Yeah,
humility.
Yeah, I don't know if they're like, bring up this point that the sympathetic viewer generally agrees with, but then don't have a huge like payoff for it. I don't know.
Yeah. Like she uses his service worker background to get away and manipulate him. And then she very much appreciates her burger because it was made with love.
That's true.
He gets happier when he makes the burger.
But then they all like still like live to serve. It's so interesting. Like it's not a, they're doing this because they like it and want to do it, and they ultimately die doing this and choose to. But I'm tying myself in knots trying to figure this out now. They resent these people and obviously want them to die. It's an us versus them thing, but also they still want to do it, like to do it, and choose to die doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a big rant just about the climate we were in at the time, about service workers and rich people and
it's very post COVID, I think, especially
this was like during
using the term service worker, I think is a direct like line to the way that people would be saying like thank your nurses, thank your service workers.
Script was written in 2019 and it would have been different, I think. It would have been a different movie had it been produced in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up like changes from the script, and there are some notable things in there, but nothing that is like would change like the entire movie.
I want to say it feels post COVID, but I don't think it feels like very of a time. Even though we're kind of saying that, I think
it came out during COVID, and
some of this stuff still I think feels relevant, though. I don't think this feels like archaic in the fact that these problems still do exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I feel like we can talk about them a little bit more, maybe not necessarily always nuanced, but a little bit less jumbled, because at the time we were all very just angry about all of the things at once and then just ranting about everything, and that's how I feel like this got made.
Yeah.
Instead of talking about one specific thing or a couple specific things and making a more nuanced movie about that. But
did you giggle when they were like talking about the way Anya Taylor-Joy looks, and they're like, "You look like a service worker," and it's like, "No, you, no, she does. No, she does.
Actually, very
she looks like a gorgeous sculpted Hollywood actress.
She's
very
attractive.
Not even just like Hollywood attractive. She looks like fucking CG character attractive.
It's Pixar mom. Of her eyes. Yeah. Are no, actually kind
not
of,
that's bad.
Like her features are very small and her eyes are big and far apart.
This is not to me saying that she looks bad or stupid or anything. She looks so good that it is totally unbelievable for her to have a recognizable lower class look or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought somebody made a joke about her that stuck with me that I don't necessarily agree with, but I just thought was funny, of the idea that Anya Taylor-Joy's face face that knows iPhones.
Yeah.
It's
a Surgeon's General situation.
Yeah. So it's something.
Taylor's Joy.
So somebody was saying that about her being in The Northman.
Oh,
yeah. She can't be in the fucking Northman because when I look at her face, even if it's covered in dirt, she still looks like she's seen an iPhone. Like, I can't do that.
The classic. We love that.
One more thing I want to mention. I liked the framing of the courses.
You like how the text slides in? And
yeah, know. And I did like how it was related to everything going on. I feel like the courses...
It's a little meta. It's definitely...
It's a little meta, but I feel like it should have made the pacing better, having that built-in pacing tool, but it didn't feel paced that well.
Oh yeah, all right. I thought that framing device kind of worked. I was down for it.
I don't know. I felt like I was kind of like, okay, well, can we move on to the next thing now?
The next course. You were like,
how many courses are there?
You were hungry.
I would like to see that framing used in a better movie.
Wow.
I think. But overall, I think I'm okay with the movie. It does things that I appreciate and things that I think it could have done better, but nothing that I think was really god awful, I don't think.
All right. So I rewatched this movie. I rewatched this movie today, right, to just refresh my memory. But I certain things about this movie, because I brought up the time and place a little earlier, the circumstances I saw it the first time, and I've thought about it since then. For sure, in various different ways, whether it's just doing Ralph Fiennes impressions or thinking about Tyler's bullshit, the lamb with the scallion and leek.
Just in butter.
Yeah, in butter.
Well, yeah. Butter is one of the best sauces.
Sauteed in butter.
Yeah, they literally call it, was it Tyler's bullshit?
Yeah,
or Tyler's
bullshit.
That's literally the name of the...
It's the course,
course, yeah. they get really snarky in the course names.
Yeah, I love that stuff. Yeah. That was...
Yeah, that's kind of the meta touch, I thought. It's a little winky, I think. Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish Tyler lasted a little longer in the movie, because it felt a little early for him to die.
The movie does go on for quite a while afterwards.
Yeah, I felt like he was going to be more of a main character.
Well,
being incidental.
Yeah, I mean, he also doesn't have that much of a backstory with this whole situation.
No, he's just there. He just wants to eat the
right
food.
Yeah, I think it is good that they kind of disposed of him earlier, because it's not... He doesn't have the rich history with this guy like some of these other folks.
I just wish he had more of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. I think his... But I also think that ties into how weird and petty this guy is.
I think that fits in.
Like his background is his girlfriend broke up with him because he's too obsessive over food, probably.
Julian Slowick.
I also thought that especially in the early going, I thought the chef being so concerned that she was there instead of the girl that he was supposed to bring. I thought that was going to tie it. Like the woman was like... the person who was supposed to be there at the dinner was like had some beef with him too, and he wanted to kill her. Mm-hmm. But they don't really tie that together. It doesn't really matter.
I think
she didn't belong there in general.
She didn't belong there in general. I thought that she was there instead of someone he actually wanted to kill,
We don't know what his girlfriend was like beforehand. She may have been into this stuff like him.
Yeah.
And then just ended the relationship because she thought he was annoying.
Yeah.
And if that was the case, then it's like, it's a couple who are both doing this same thing. We're both about the same thing. But the reveal that he knew that everyone was going to die and he still showed up
anyway.
That's
good.
Did they show us what was on Tyler's tortillas?
I don't think so.
I wanted to see what was on his tortillas.
Yeah, I don't think they go into that.
I think they probably just ate them already.
Yeah.
don't know.
Oh, no, no. Like... His tortillas had the pictures he was taking of the food.
Oh, right.
Which is funny. I'm like, when did they take that picture?
Yeah, like, how did they get that?
But, yeah, it was interesting. It's like, oh, okay,
I mean, if they have, like a data center or something on the island, they talk about how, like, nothing can get off the island, but if you can access local devices as
they
long
got,
as
they have a Kinko's down the road. They just print.
They
print it on the tortillas. They've got a FedEx Kinko's.
Fucking stupid asshole had his AirDrop on the whole time. No idea.
But Tyler's character is weird. I think it's maybe out of place for this movie. Well, I mean, it's to a point, and like ultimately, I like what they do with him. But it is that whole them being the perspective characters is weird when you figure out that this is about specific vendettas this guy has.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know why his girlfriend probably broke up with him was because he knew that they were going to die.
Yeah.
And
I don't think he did it to spare her life, though.
No. I think that he was like, yeah, we're going to go here and then they're going to kill us.
Do you think he said that? I don't
know. Yeah, he might have said that.
I think that he was just being like a normal shithead and she's like, I'm done.
I don't want to go to this dinner with you. You're insufferable.
But, so he got an escort.
I wouldn't want to go to dinner with him.
I guess he must have had to have an escort. Or
he said they don't make tables for one. Yeah. He said that's a good bit.
Yeah.
That whole part is mm-hmm. Pretty harsh. I did like how they paid that off. Again, this movie is not about that drama really, but I thought it was an interesting mm-hmm. inclusion.
Yeah, I do think that is one of my favorite scenes in the movie. The scene at the end is the main one I want to talk about.
Yeah, can we unpack that? Do you have any more thoughts, Seb? Are you good? We were talking over you a little bit.
No, that's fine.
First, I would like to say that I think this movie is totally fine. It is a B minus, and
Minus. How many stars on Letterboxd do you give this one?
I gave it 4 initially. I would bring that down now. This is like a. I think that not every movie needs to be fucking Killers of the Flower Moon. Of course, I would still like movies like that.
Let's keep it topical. Not every movie needs to be Dune Part 2.
Not every movie needs to be Dune Part 2. Not every movie can afford to be Dune Part 2. But, like, I think that kind of smaller, more memorable experiences like this to where someone can cut their teeth or you can just see a bunch of actors you like all on the screen at the same time.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
I get to see John Leguizamo. I love that
guy. Yeah, I love that guy. It's great. I'm happy he's in this. And he has such a great part where he's basically like...
He's Luigi in the Mario Brothers movie.
The original one.
The
80s one, yeah.
He's the Pest in the Pest.
He's, of course, an executive decision. He's is a secret operative or whatever. SWAT team guy. He's really good in that one.
He's in Spawn, though you'd never know it. He does not look like himself as that one.
I don't know.
He might be in Spy Kids.
Is he the dad?
What? Hold on. I'm going to get this for you, Seb, because it would be funny if that was the only thing you recognized him from. So I
thought George Lopez was in Spy Kids.
I might be being racist.
Yeah.
I don't know that you are, but until I check, I don't think he is in Spy Kids.
Okay.
He's in John Wick 1 and 2. Okay.
Of course.
It's been a long, long time since I've seen Spy Kids, so I can't really recall their faces that well. Moulin
Rouge.
You're canceled. Sorry.
He's in the fucking Ice Age movies. You want
to... Oh, is he the rat?
All Latinos look the same.
No, he is the fucking sloth.
Okay. There's a sloth?
The main guy.
Oh, that's right. Wow.
Oh, he talks like that? I can't imagine him talking
He puts
like
a
that.
Voice on. Yeah. It's
an animated movie.
He's also in another movie about food, Chef. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
We're going to move on.
You think they got him because he was in Chef?
Yeah, they tried to get Jon Favreau, but he was too busy doing Iron Man, I think. No.
Happy Hogan, whatever his name is.
We are we're deep into this movie and we're right at the end, and Erin is looking for a way out, but she's also just really upset with being here in the first place. And she gives this big like takedown speech to Ralph Fiennes' character.
Girl boss mode.
She's like, even your hot dishes were cold. Like you've done such a piss poor job of serving us this entire time, all because of your vendetta. All your joy is gone. And you know what the worst part is? I'm still fucking hungry.
Whoa.
And then she's like, I just want a cheeseburger. And then
Normal food.
Normal cheeseburger.
I don't want this emulsion.
Yeah.
Oh, I did think it was funny that she kept bringing broken emulsion to the
I don't even know what that means.
The Paco Jet?
Yeah. Well, no, it was specifically that it's like, it's a sauce that you're supposed to mix together, but it had already separated. I think that that's the idea of that. But I don't know. Cam can write in and tell us.
He's not going to listen to this episode. Well, he might, actually. That scene is weird because this takedown is like where you usually, this kind of scene is usually where you get into a vision into what the movie is trying to say. But it is a little hard to parse what exactly we're getting out of this. That scene is where the whole first segment idea comes from for me. Because
you should have very lovingly served us food and then killed us.
I think...
Your food, you made your food full of spite and evil.
Yes, instead of love.
Wow.
Maybe
because you hate everyone in this room and you want them to die.
Yeah. Now that it could be something on its own, right? Where it's like, if this were a different kind of movie, like a speech like that could be what reignites his passion for cooking, helps him remember what he felt he had lost.
It wasn't always like this.
Yes. Which is something that he recognizes when he has the talk in his
office. Right. I think he's aware. I think he's pretty aware of that. I think. I don't know.
And like this is, of course, she is not tricking him. She is giving him an out something that he already wanted to do, which was let her go.
It's not the secret kill phrase that activates his Manchurian candidate to make a cheeseburger.
Yes,
I think it is.
Yeah,
the reason, in my eyes anyway, watching this film, that she is allowed to leave after this is because she found a way to leave that fits with the script of the event that he's putting on.
It's part of the menu. Everything needs to square. They say it so much that like everything that happens needs to square with the plan, pretty much.
And which reminds me that so much of this is a meta commentary about making art. But the one that I really loved was when all the women are sitting with one of the female chefs.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name. And she's like, "Are we really all going to die at the end?" And she says, "Oh yeah, that was actually my idea.
Yeah, yep. It was my pitch.
Like, it doesn't work if we don't all die at the end." And which is very much like talking about a script.
Yeah.
It doesn't work if they don't all die at the end. The payoff isn't there. It reminds me of said the scene at the end of American Fiction where he's talking about like, how do we end this movie? Mm-hmm. What works? What doesn't? And they come up with three shitty ideas.
It's good.
Yes.
But yeah, that is kind of a microcosm. It's like this movie needs to go. It needs to go as planned because we don't have a movie. The menu is not complete. The menu is not complete unless we do everything as according to plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If everyone except for his mom and Tyler got out of there, like, would this be a satisfying conclusion? What would you feel like you got out of this? Right? Like all the people who survived are not going to learn their lesson. They're going to just think of this as a, like, oh, can you believe that crazy asshole did this crazy thing? Can you believe that he was a bad man who did this thing?
Or they would have gotten out of it and been like, wow, what a performance piece.
That was good.
Yeah. Like after that dude gets his fucking ring finger cut off.
Yeah, we
like that. The critics are like, this acting is great.
Yeah.
My
favorite part is after the sous chef kills himself, they're like, there was a squib in there. There had to be somebody said squib in a funny way. It was really, I was like, man, that is good.
Like, do you see a lot of people having squibs at their fancy dinners? Like,
that's great though. I mean, I love the idea of fake blowing my brains out in a fancy restaurant. Also, like, a script like that would be super hard. It has to come from like the back of your neck or something.
Yeah.
Like that's
they
could
do
crazy.
Well, they did
effect.
It in the movie.
Yes, of course.
That guy didn't really die.
Well, I would like to compliment the set design in this movie. Private island with a fucking with a fancy restaurant on it.
The like gigantic slab of wood that is the door is really good.
Oh,
like,
man.
When they like lock them in, it's really cool. And
you know what I was thinking
and...
of watching it this time is where we went to Jensen and Lex's wedding.
Oh yeah.
That I was thinking about the inside of that place, which was not as fancy, but has the kind of faux rustic thing going on.
Yeah. It's like an old mill converted into a wedding venue.
Yes.
That kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. But okay. So at the end of this movie, right? Aaron's fucking speech to Ralph Fiennes when she's talking about like, you know what, you gave me all this bullshit, I'm still hungry, give me a cheeseburger. Like, it works in the language of this film because that was the thing that, like you said, Seb, that was the last thing, the first thing that he did where he felt like he was just making something for someone else to make him happy.
He came to love cooking.
He was giving them exactly what they wanted and they were happy.
Mm-hmm.
But also it does feel like kind of a takedown, you know? Like
it's definitely a fine dining is bullshit kind of opinion, mm-hmm. I think. It's a weird perspective to have.
Like people don't need something more complicated than slop. Give them slop.
Well, it's like, oh man, both like fancy stuff is bullshit, and it's like, oh, I've had all this and I'm still hungry because the portions are so tiny. It's not real food.
I remember a credit card commercial from the 2000s, I want to say, where a couple goes out on a date to a fancy restaurant and they're waiting a long time and the music is playing over it, and then the plates come and they're like really small.
Yeah. That's the fine dining joke. Yeah.
They pay for it with the fucking MasterCard or whatever, and then it cuts to them at a gas station just pulling food off the shelves and eating all that in the car, which is sweet and romantic, sure, but it's also like, well, it's a fucking commercial, but also it is like
you can put both those things on your MasterCard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It also is just another look at like this idea of you are not going to be satisfied by high art, something that people put a lot of effort into, something that is fine or quality is not going to be as good as the like 75-ounce bag of Lay's.
Yeah, it's interesting. I it's hard to square.
It doesn't quite gel with the rest of the film.
The thing that is, the simple carb, the thing that is bad for you, is more satisfying than this, this thing that this man poured his entire life into.
Which is not to say that we are against burger. We are firmly pro burger. We did all eat
a hamburger before we recorded.
As Americans, we can only understand analogies when they are portrayed, when they are explained to us in the form of burger. Which is why we're getting so up in arms about the end of this movie, because we saw a burger and we thought something was trying to be explained to us, when it may have in fact just been a scene to try and tie the narrative together nicely.
That's the biggest fault of this movie is that it's not focused enough to have a single message.
And
theme.
Like, maybe we're all like media illiterate dummies, but I don't think it was super obvious. I don't know.
No,
it's hard to walk the logic through, and it's, I don't like to be the like picking apart the logic of a movie guy, but I feel like the main thrust of the climax of your movie shouldn't be something that people are confused about.
No, I would like to say that this movie is held aloft by Ralph Fiennes' performance.
Yeah,
who does an incredible fucking job.
Oh, and I think most of the performances in this movie are very good. Mm-hmm. Like, what is she? She's the Maitre d'.
She was nominated that year for The Whale, a movie not want to watch.
She's very good in this.
Yeah.
Like, she's sinister, actually.
Yeah, I do like that.
Hong Chao.
Truly sinister vibes. Mm-hmm. Very good.
She does a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of making this place seem sinister. Also, you might recognize her from Downsizing.
Whoa, another podcast favorite.
Yeah. She was the one who got shrunk?
Yes.
Stop it!
Stop!
Shrunk and sent across the ocean.
I can't believe you said that.
You didn't let me finish.
That sounded like there was a period at the end of that.
She's down there with Kang. we're real quantum aliens.
She got downsized?
You know, literally today I read an issue where I read the issue of Fantastic Four that introduces the Microverse, which is the fucking thing that stupid as shit Ant-Man movie is based off of.
Well, you saw it in the tiny theater.
Yeah.
How much of the Marvel backlog have you read?
I've read like 2% of it or something. But okay. I have been going through and reading some specific old stuff.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I read a bunch of old Spider-Man last year, and I'm slowly going through Stan and Jack's Fantastic Four right now. Which
by sex criminal
is incredibly good. Yes. You are correct. Jonathan Majors, sex criminal. Mm. Domestic violence criminal?
Oh, I don't know.
All right. Do we distinguish those? What happened?
Disgraced criminal.
Disgraced conqueror, Kang. I'm going back. This is the cold open. For some reason, this is getting pushed back to the beginning.
Okay.
Because now we're in a good mood. When we started the show, we were not in a good mood because I had to fucking fiddle with the computer.
We needed an appetizer.
I was in a good mood because we watched the Fox's EP.
Eepy deepy.
Got a falafel asleepy.
I think that they should have put a tomato on that burger.
They should have put
No.
They could have put an onion on the burger.
They did put onion on.
Okay. Cheeseburger, onion.
Yeah. I mean, onion, burger, cheese. I usually do mustard, but that, and I'll throw a pickle on, but I don't, you could give or take.
I feel like pickle's good.
Simple burger. All you need.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
do you think he would have scoffed at ketchup? Or would have been like only villain thrown her out?
Yeah. Yeah.
He would have killed her if she asked
him. He would have killed the
You're going on the pyre.
All right, that's my movie theory for that.
This is our film theory.
Doing a video on YouTube with a red arrow and a circle.
Don't do this to your burger.
She knew.
She knew that if she asked for ketchup, she would die.
What is he cooking?
Welcome to YouTube Shorts. Anyway, I had a good time revisiting this. I'm really happy to do this. And I think that watching it now, Hong Chau and Ralph Fiennes' performances are like the thing that makes me really enjoy this film. That, and of course, like I was saying, the sets I think are really nice in this movie. Just pretty to look at. And it's just, even though it doesn't quite all come together, it was still like something that was worth revisiting. And it did give me more to think about this time of really just thinking about. In a way, this film's incoherent message gave me a lot to think about and talk about right at the beginning of the show.
I have one more thing that just came back to mind.
Yeah.
What do we think of that? It feels like kind of very heavy-handed metaphor, but when she's kind of exploring the island, she goes to the chef's cabin, and it is just a recreation of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
What's up with that? He lives at work, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm like. I'm like,
I think it is that he designed his
life, right? Yes. Okay.
So he designed his kitchen as his house. When he goes home, he is still not separating from it. Even though he does not live with them,
work
he's
is still life.
Living on the island.
Yes. And but so, he's the one, they go to like a barracks kind of situation. Yeah. He goes back to the same kitchen.
So it's actually just like Bloodborne. That's the Hunter's Workshop. That's
Thank you. Yarn. You got it for me. There we go.
The doll is the doll. Audrey Taylor-Joy is the doll.
Yeah.
So she's not real.
They got a secret hidden door, and that's where you find
the hairpin
and level up. I just thought that was like, all right, this is trying to say something, but he live at work, I guess,
all the implements and the kitchen implements in the fight.
Yeah, good stuff. They pay off the frother or whatever that Tyler was talking about.
Yeah.
He bashes her in the head with it.
Yeah, she kills Hong Chau.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's all for today. I think that's all we got.
Well,
no one's getting lit on fire.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to serve the dessert course for the podcast now.
So, what do we think for my next episode? I've got a couple of ideas. I pitched some stuff. Do we want to do because that book talk one requires some fucking research.
I'm not gonna have time.
What are you going to have time for this week? What can I suggest that you will actually be able to do?
Movie. Show. Things that don't require research. A thing that I can just do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, something to be consumed.
Wow. Because I'm all booked through this entire
weekend.
Filthy,
dumb consumer. Filthy, slop-eating Americans just need to consume.
I would like to... If we just want something that can just be absorbed and then talked about,
the
I would like to...
cheeseburger of podcast topics.
I would like a...
We don't want anything fancy.
I would like to watch a movie that you and I, Seb, first watched during the pandemic that I have a lot of affection for.
Wow, another old film.
It's not. I guess it's pretty old.
2022?
No, it's a... I would like to do an episode on the film F for Fake.
Wow.
Yeah.
A movie about things which are not real.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like this film a lot.
Think about that one.
And it is basically... every YouTube essay is cribbing from this, whether they know it or not.
Mm.
But it is better than all of them.
Wow.
This
is Nick's snobby pick now.
What, just because it was made by Orson Welles?
That's right.
No, this was a period of time where we were going through a list of the best movies of all time, and they were all quite snobby.
Yeah.
But they were good. They were all good.
This is Nick being the guy that Twitter people make up.
I mean, they do talk about fine art quite a bit in this movie, but they talk about how it's all horse shit.
I'm gonna have to find art.
Yes,
on the computer.
I might have to do a companion piece to this.
As in for your own episode or something?
Yeah, for my own episode.
Wow. What do you have in mind?
Exit through the gift shop.
All right, we'll think about it. Well, I mean, no, I mean, we will think about what we want to do.
Yeah.
Next week we will do something that's not real.
Yes.
Wow. Hold on. We will muse on the ideas of my brain is off.
Give up. Go to bed.
Got steam coming out of my ears.
I'm
EPDP right now.
He's a sleegy little guy.
Thank you for your submission, Andrew. If you would like your own episode of this show, you can send it to pleasedontcast@gmail.com, and that is pleasedontcast@gmail.com. It is time for the dessert course. We are going to go eat our s'mores.
Alive.
And die. Oh. No, we're going to be fine. We're taking it to go. We're going to get Ralph fine. See you next week, everyone.